Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen, and I am joined today by Dylan Frazier, correct?
Correct.
All the way from somewhere in the nation of the United States. Where are you from, Dylan? I honestly, this is probably the worst intro we've ever had because I know zero things about you.
All right. Well, I'm actually, believe it or not, on the complete opposite coast of the team that I pull for. I actually live in North Carolina.
Oh, dope. All right. Yeah, well, I mean, I pull for the Broncos, and I live in Utah. So, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah, that seems like – so how long have you been a Niners fan?
Oof. It's been my whole life. My dad raised me as one.
Dope. So – okay, here's a big question for you. Who's your favorite 49er of all time?
Of all time?
Yeah.
It's got to be Jerry Rice. I don't know how it couldn't be.
All right. I'm surprised. I would go, if I were a 49ers fan, I'd go Joe Montana.
Joe's a close second because you got to love Joe, but Jerry, man.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, you guys have got some good quarterbacking stuff going on right now, and hopefully that kind of continues into this year, you know. But we'll get to that in a second. You know, like, I'm just really excited to talk about the 49ers, man. So let's get rolling.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. So let's start with that. So Jimmy G, like, man, you guys pull off probably – I don't know. I don't know if I've ever seen someone scam Bill Belichick like the – 49ers scammed Bill Belichick, but a second round pick for a potential. Now, I'm way too hyped on Jimmy G. I sent out a tweet like last December saying by the time his career is over, people are going to view him as the GOAT, which I still stand by. And I'll stand by that till the end of his career. But I think he's going to win two or three Super Bowls. I'm way too excited about Jimmy G. But why'd you just tell me a little bit, like, where are you at with Jimmy G? What do you like about him so much? What makes him such a great quarterback, in your opinion?
I mean, trust me, I definitely have all the love for Jimmy G. I'm wearing a shirt right now. But I don't want everybody on this podcast to sit here and think that I'm one of these normal 49ers fans that you see all the time. That's like, Jimmy's about to come in. He's going to stay undefeated. He's going to beat everybody. I'm not like that.
I feel you. I'm a pessimistic fan, too.
But don't get me wrong. I love Jimmy. People that tell me he's overrated don't know what they're talking about. They didn't actually watch the games. People love to look at the stats and not watch the games. Okay. The fact of the matter is, apparently Jalen Ramsey didn't even watch the game that he played in because he said he didn't get torn up, but he did. He really did. He can blame it on zone stuff all he wants. And I have no lack of respect for Jalen Ramsey. I think he's a great corner. But he got torn to pieces by Jimmy. And I honestly, I'm not going to start saying – it's a little too early for me to start calling him the GOAT, honestly. I'm a little too scared to do that one. But the fact that he learned under Tom Brady, that gave him plenty. He was already a talented quarterback. Kyle Shanahan loved him coming out of college. And he's in a perfect system. I mean, there's just a lot that you can love about him. And I'm very excited to see what he can do.
So what, I guess, should be 49ers fans' expectations of Jimmy G be coming into this second year? Because, of course, he came in, he played so well, he was undefeated. He had that terrific comeback against the Titans. I watched that one. That was fantastic. He showed you a little bit of everything, and he showed you that he kind of had it all. Like, what should be the expectations for what he kind of produces this year?
Let me put it to you this way. You mentioned that Titans game. I've been a 49ers fan for a long time, okay? And normally I don't feel the way that I felt in that Titans game. I knew that whole time that we were going to win that game. And I haven't felt like that in a very long time. Okay, that's just the way it is. I knew we were going to win that game when it was coming down to that drive. I didn't doubt him. And That's just the way it is when you have a quarterback that you believe in. And the Titans were a playoff team.
Right. So, well, okay. I get – the question, though, is what do you think what should be the expectation of 49ers fans? Because you say, oh, everyone comes out and says, oh, he's going to keep them undefeated. He's going to be this great guy, this MVP candidate if you're a Niners fan. What do you think the more realistic expectation is? Do you think he's going to level out a little bit? Do you think he's going to – or do you think he's going to continue – you think he's going to start slow, grow throughout the year? What do you think is going to happen?
Two things are going to happen in this offseason. The first thing is people are going to have a lot more tape on him, and they're going to have a lot to do. The second thing is he's finally going to be able to get a grip on all of Kyle Shanahan's playbook. Those are two very important things that will have a lot to determine. And I honestly feel like once Jimmy starts to get a real hold of this playbook, he can be reaching those Matt Ryan levels that we saw with Kyle Shanahan. And I really believe that. I think that the only thing stopping him right now is a little bit of help around him. But honestly, I do expect a little bit of a slow start. We have a little bit of a difficult schedule near the beginning. I know game one is versus the Vikings. that's a tough game one. And then we have Detroit the next game. I can't remember who the third game is, but I just remember reading the schedule, and we have a very tough beginning, but
yeah, they do.
A much easier ending.
Yeah, for sure. So the 49ers schedule, as you were saying, it for the first 4 weeks of this season goes as follows: goes Vikings, Lions, Chiefs, and Chargers. Three really tough teams. You could potentially see them starting 1-3 in that stretch, but probably more 2-2. I'd give them benefit of the doubt over the Lions. But here's what I want to do to kind of wrap up the Jimmy G talk, because obviously Jimmy G is such a huge part of this team, but there's obviously way more than just him to this team. And that is this. I want to play some Jimmy G over under. So I'm going to give you a stat line, and you tell me over under for Jimmy G's stats, and let's start with yardage. So last year in six games, he had 1,560 yards. That's really impressive for just six games. So this is going to be a really kind of high stat line, but I'm going to say 3,600.5 yards over under.
I could see him going over on that one, but not by much, quite honestly. I stick around a little bit of a – I had it written down somewhere over here. Sorry about that.
You're good.
I had him going to close to, like, 3,800.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just really impressive to think about the yardage he put up in six games. And yes, he did have one or two turnovers, but that's obviously to be expected. They weren't all his fault.
I want to challenge anybody that loves to talk about those interceptions to just go back and watch a lot of them, because there were ones that just weren't his fault.
Yeah,
there were bad throws. I have no problem admitting that he threw interceptions.
In the Bears game, I think it was the Bears, I believe, that really got him. He had a two-interception game in his first real start with them, which, I mean, I feel like that's to be expected, especially if it's your first time getting traded in the middle of a season, obviously adjusting to an offense that quick. That's the other thing I don't think a lot of people realize. Like, he only had, like, 2 weeks to prepare, and everyone says about Kyle Shanahan's offense, it takes, like, a year – of a full starter. Like, you look at Matt Ryan, like, the year before his breakout year, he was absolutely awful in Kyle Shanahan's offense. So I don't really, like, I challenge the haters to that as well. So what we have now is touchdowns. He had seven in six games last year. So we're going to go sort of a mid-range number, and I think you might go over on this. But I feel like a good number to set it at is 29.5 touchdowns.
Well, once again, I am going to say over, but not by much. Red zone targeting is one of our big problems, and I think we're even going to get into that a little bit later. But Yeah, there's a lot of problems on who he can target in that end zone, and you saw a lot of that, but we're getting a lot more help to return from last year that we didn't have while Jimmy was playing. I had it around 30, 31.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of an idea there.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably about right. Interceptions, I'm going to put this a little bit higher, actually. I'm going to say 15.5 interceptions over under.
I did have a little bit under, but once again, we're pretty close with him. I had it at about 13.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at setting these things. Like, I've done this with a lot of these guests so far with, like, a lot of different quarterbacks. And, like, I'm pretty, like everyone really has a hard time. Like, I should move to Vegas, and I should just –
There you go.
I should get on the Vegas machine because I can set over-unders like no one's business. But anyways, let's talk a little bit about other parts of the 49ers because obviously you can't just have a great quarterback and win the Super Bowl. Like that would mean that the Seattle Seahawks are contenders because Russell Wilson – let's be real. I know you're a 49ers fan, but Russell Wilson, let's be real, should be an MVP candidate pretty much every year. And he can't win in the playoffs without a team around him. So let's talk quickly about the team around Jimmy G. The wide receiving core especially really concerns me because it feels like the 49ers have this once-in-a-generation quarterback land in their lap, and then they didn't target any wide receivers in free agency or the early rounds of the draft, really. And what I see when I look at their depth chart is I see Pierre Garçon, who is aging out, and Marquise Goodwin, who I think has tremendous talent and potential. But outside of those two, I just don't see much else. Can you kind of talk to me about some of the depth on that wide receiving roster, or are my concerns founded?
There's definitely validity to those concerns because in our fan base, we've definitely talked about needing some more help at wide receiver at times. But like you said, Pierre Garçon is a good receiver. He is getting a little up there in age. He dealt with some injury last year. We are really excited to get him back, see what he can do with Jimmy because he had never been able to play with Jimmy in the regular season. And Marquise Goodwin is phenomenal in Kyle Shanahan's offense. That speed is unreal with just taking the top off of these defenses. And we're really excited to see more of that too. But there's actually three more guys that I did want to talk about in our depth chart for wide receiver.
Awesome.
That we're kind of excited about. Trent Taylor. I don't know if you've heard this guy's name. He was a rookie last year. He actually, by the end of the season, had the highest PFF rating out of all the receivers on slant routes.
Hmm.
He had the highest. That was over Keenan Allen, who had second. Wow. Trent Taylor had a 141, and Keenan Allen had a 124.1. Now, I don't put too much emphasis on PFF ratings all the time.
That's
but at the same time, that's a nice statistic right there. Yeah. And if you're looking for another one, there were only two rookie wide receivers that had more receptions than Trent Taylor. And only five had more yards than him.
Who were the two that had more receptions?
I don't quite remember. I remember when I was looking up my stats.
It's totally fine. I totally get you. There's a lot of statistics to remember. No, I totally get it. When I look kind of up and down this depth chart, though, the one position group that I kind of have a curiosity about is tight end because you guys added Garrett Sulik this offseason, correct? Or that was last offseason, actually. Pardon me.
He's been around for a little while.
Yeah. Pardon me.
That guy's a good addition there. And we also, in the 2017 draft, picked up George Kittle, who is a guy that we're all really excited about. He didn't get as much time with Jimmy as we would have liked, but he showed a lot of flashes. I didn't actually look up any info on George Kittle, but I know there's some good stuff out there.
Who do you believe should be the starting tight end?
That is a good question because we have been debating that for a little while. I am honestly all aboard the George Kittle train. I think he has a lot of talent, but if I was doing a fantasy draft today, I would also have no problem taking Celek in there because they're both going to be featured pretty well in this offense, I believe.
Right, for sure. That is the one thing that does make me kind of curious, though, is like you look at the Kyle Shanahan offenses, and especially like in Atlanta, he didn't really have a tight end. He's never really had like a real tight end. So it'll be interesting to me to see how Shanahan incorporates that into the offense this year. I'm guessing a lot of those plays where you can throw short and there's tons of open space in front of you, which Kyle Shanahan has the ability to do. I think he's one of the more underrated coaches thus far in the NFL. Like what he did last year, even with Brian Hoyer a little bit at the beginning, yes, there was that kind of quiet stretch in the middle, and CJ Beathard had that like one or two good game stretch. Like I think there's a lot to be said about Kyle Shanahan and that obviously Sean McVay kind of stole the limelight. This wasn't on our topic sheet, but I'd like to talk to you about this just kind of strictly from a fan perspective. Like I know the last big rivalry the 49ers had was the Seahawks. Do you see that kind of transferring now over to the Rams, or do you think it's still you and the Seahawks as the teams that hate each other in the National Football League?
In my personal opinion and from everything I've seen, it's not changing from the Seahawks quite yet. We hate the Seahawks so much. And I think that's just because it's been a long time since we've beaten the Seahawks in general.
Yeah.
I honestly think that once we do go beat them, which I think we will this year, and once we beat them, we might get over a little bit and start moving towards that rivalry with the Rams. But the Seahawks definitely have the number one hatred spot in my heart.
Well, if you think about it, it's a perfect rivalry between you and the Rams too, though. It's close in vicinity. You both have two very good, talented young quarterbacks coming up at pretty much the exact same time. You have two of what the NFL considers to be the best offensive-minded coaches in the league. Yes, right now the Rams have a better team, a better defense, but in a few years, who knows? The Niners could be right there with them. We'll talk about the defense in a little bit, but with the pass rush, especially, there are some things to get excited about if you believe in potential growth and how people can players can develop. But I just feel like the Rams and the 49ers, man, like, mark my words, if we're talking this time next year, you'll be saying the Rams are your biggest rival.
That could be true.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about something that a lot of football fans, especially a lot of like, no offense, amateur analysts like you and me don't know a whole lot about, which is the offensive line. You guys kind of made people scratch their heads by going out and drafting an offensive tackle with that 9th overall pick instead of taking a wide receiver or a defensive player that was still on the board. I guess I just want to know, like, watching Jimmy G last year, like, yes, I realized the 49ers offensive line wasn't the best in the league, but I certainly didn't consider it a weakness. Like, what did you think of the O-line last year and their prospects going into this year?
Our offensive line last year was a train wreck. Jimmy did wonders making that offensive line look good. He did so good, he made them believe in giving Daniel Kilgore an extension that he didn't deserve before we shipped him off to the Dolphins. That offensive line played pretty terribly. I remember I was actually at the Panthers 49ers game to open the season, and that was embarrassing watching that offensive line. They might as well not block anyone. And it was really a very strong weak point, and I'm not 100% sold on where they're at this point either. They did make a lot of moves. They brought in a center from New York, Weston Richburg. He played on the Giants. He dealt with a bad concussion last year but didn't play much. But he does have a lot of good blocking abilities. And at left tackle, Joe Staley's still playing great. He's getting a little old, but I have faith in him for now. Mike McGlinchey, we all pretty much – I will say at first nobody was really happy about the Mike McGlinchey pick because we thought there was bigger needs to address. But we're happy with Mike McGlinchey at this point because we think it's going to solidify not only our right tackle spot for right now, but create a good prospect to take over left tackle whenever Joe Staley needs to retire. At this point, it's just offensive guard that we're all really worried about. Lakin Tomlinson, Joshua Garnett, Jonathan Cooper, and Mike Persons are a bunch of guys that are up in the air for it. But honestly, none of them really stand out from the pack. They all seem a little mediocre, and we're just hoping that they can get the job done a little bit longer.
Yeah. How big speaking about the O-line, how big a deal was losing Carlos Hyde? Because I feel like a lot of, especially casual NFL fans, I don't think realized the value that he had to that team last year. I thought he was one of the top 10 running backs in the league. How big a deal is that?
Losing Carlos Hyde is, in one way, a big deal, and in another, not so much of a big deal. It is somewhat of a big deal due to the fact that if you look at our depth chart right now, we have absolutely no, like, bruiser type of running backs. We have Jerick McKinnon and Matt Breida, who are the only guys that are looked at as the guys that, yeah, you're definitely making the roster. We've got some other guys that we're hopeful for, but those guys are both really pass-catching backs. And you don't see that bruiser status that Carlos Hyde had. So we probably will miss a little bit of that. But at the same time, Carlos Hyde was a good running back. I just don't think he earned what he needed to earn in the time that he had with us. He never eclipsed 1,000 yards with us. And a lot of that came from some injury in seasons. And a lot of that came from this past year. I feel like he wasn't in on every situation that he should have been in. We switched in Matt Breida a couple times whenever I feel like it should have been Carlos Hyde. But at the same time, I have no doubt that Carlos Hyde is a valuable asset to a team. I just think as our team, we were ready to move on.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm not sure I'd agree with that. I think Carlos Hyde, like, I don't think there are – it's a very elite group of running backs that can actually consistently put out 1,000-yard seasons every year. And I don't know. I just thought Carlos Hyde played really well last year. Like, you look at that spectacular Thursday night game against the Rams. He had, like, one of the best games of his career. And he did pretty well the rest of the year. But I can see how 49ers fans might feel that he wasn't quite worth it. Do you think that Jerick McKinnon and do you think that you guys need like a pure running back though this upcoming season?
In my personal opinion, I would love to have one just because I value that in the style of football. But at the same time, I know that Kyle is going to be able to work really well with Jerick McKinnon and Matt Breida. I've already heard things from what's been going on with the players so far that Jerick McKinnon's been absolutely phenomenal in this offense so far. I expect good things with those guys, but yeah, I wouldn't have minded having that kind of bruiser type of running back.
So obviously being from Utah, I'm a big Utah football fan. One of the guys on your running back depth chart roster is Joe Williams. And I've noticed he gets kind of a visceral response from depending on what 49er fan you listen to. I didn't really watch much of the Niners preseason last year because just honestly there wasn't much to get excited about, no offense. But like, what do you think of Joe Williams? Like, I realized that he didn't get a whole lot of regular season snaps last year and they didn't take quite the role they wanted him to, but do you think he's a guy who can still have some potential and kind of make a difference with that team?
Well, I am a huge Joe Williams supporter. I wanted – what we did with Joe Williams last year is we actually basically redshirted him. We put him on IR at the start of the season for an injury that probably wasn't as much of a season-ending type thing as it should have been. But that came because he struggled with holding on to the football in preseason. He just wasn't getting that, and he wasn't picking up the playbook as much as we wanted him to. So that's why he didn't end up playing with us in the regular season. But I am extremely hopeful for Joe Williams, because watching him in preseason, I loved his burst. The way he could get – when he saw a hole, the way he could get through it, I thought he had amazing potential there. I even watched a lot of his college tape at that point and saw a lot of things that I liked from there too. I'm interested in him. It worries me that he's still having a problem holding on to the ball from the reports I've heard. But if he has learned the playbook and if he can hold on to the ball, he could potentially be that bruiser type character that we would want.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's move on to the defense here. And I have two conflicting feelings about the defense. At the beginning of the offseason, I thought they were awful. It kind of escaped my mind that Richard Sherman had joined them. I feel like that went a little bit under the radar. I kind of thought they had no secondary. But let's start up front, because you look at the front and you look at all these like top five draft picks that you guys have accumulated over the past 3 years. Solomon Thomas, Eric Armstead. There's who am I forgetting here? Reuben Foster obviously has his legal issues, obviously out the first two games, but still, I loved Reuben Foster, what I saw on the field last year. He was by far my favorite rookie defensive player to watch. And that's saying a lot, talking about last year's rookie defensive class. But the other guy is DeForest Buckner, who I watched a lot. These are all Pac-12 guys that I watch constantly as a Utah fan, like, terrorize my team. But it just feels like nothing is materialized. Is there a reason I should believe this defense is actually going to work this year?
This defense has given nobody a reason to really believe in it yet. And I as a 49ers fan, fully admit that. The fact that on our defensive line, at least we have spent 3 first-round picks with DeForest Buckner, Solomon Thomas, and Eric Armstead. Eric Armstead can't stay healthy, and he's just – when he is healthy, he's a great run stopper, but he just hasn't been anything else superior that we wanted. DeForest Buckner is an animal, okay? DeForest Buckner is going to be one of the best defensive tackles in the league next year. And that's not even something I'm worried about. I just know that. He's the only person on our line that can give pressure, though, which is, if you ask any 49ers fan, it's probably their top worry. Pass rush, we have nothing. We really don't. We're all hopeful for a bunch of young guys that we have. Adichu, who I think we got from the Chargers. Cassius Marsh, who came in with us halfway through the season. He was a real go-getter. He went after the ball. Solomon Thomas, who was our first-round pick last year, he never really developed into anything too great. I still have hope for him. And then this year we drafted a kid named Kentavious Street from NC State. I like the kid. He's dealing with injury right now, which means it's going to be a little bit longer before we see him. But we don't have anything substantial there to be a pass rusher, and that scares all of us.
Yeah, this is a fascinating stat that I was kind of looking up just now. Over the past 3 years combined, those players have 18 sacks. If you look at that, that's 6 years of experience combined, which means each of those guys is averaging like 3 sacks a year. If you were to divide it out on top of those, and you look at like what other defensive linemen drafted where they are drafted produced, they are being outworked by almost every single position group in the entire league. Like it shocks me that they can't develop into something that's truly scary. Like what is that defensive front seven missing?
It is just missing their pass rusher. I mean, in the interior, they have a lot of good guys with DeForest Buckner, Earl Mitchell, Sheldon Day, who we got from Jacksonville, and DJ Jones, who we drafted last year. There's plenty of depth there on that interior, and I believe in that interior. But once you get to the outside, if Eric Armstead could stay healthy, he'd be a great type of right end kind of guy that's just going to, like, stop the run and get where he needs to be. But we don't have anybody that's going to rush that quarterback. That's what we need. We need pass rush. That is why it cannot produce anything.
How worried are you about the secondary this year?
The secondary? That's one that does give me worry, because what I've said about the secondary is it's the thing to watch for our defense this year, because it's either going to be really good or really bad. And it's going to be like that, whether it happens or not.
I'm going to lean toward really bad. Tell me why it could be really good.
I have a lot of hope for our secondary with Richard Sherman. Obviously we all know Richard Sherman has proven himself to be a top corner, even though he terrorized my team for years. The worry with him, obviously, is he's coming back from a major injury, and you don't know if that slowed him down any. He had a little bit of a down year last year too, but in the scheme of things, we'd like to hope that Richard Sherman's going to come back as that top-level corner. And that's the major worry, if Richard Sherman's going to stay healthy.
Yeah.
With Richard Sherman at CB1, we have Akella Witherspoon at CB2, who played CB1 near the end of the year, and he had a very good rookie season. Akella Witherspoon should be a very good CB2. And then in the safeties, honestly, what fascinates me is our safeties get wildly overlooked. Adrian Colbert was a 7th-round pick in the 2017 draft. And when you look at the depth chart and you're like, oh, they have a 7th-round pick starting, you're not going to be impressed. But if you watch what Adrian Colbert did last year, he played amazing. I mean, that's a guy that's one of those guys that you see, you're like, 2 years later, and you're like, how did he make it that far down in the draft? That's a guy that's going to have a lot of good games to come. And then over there at strong safety, we have Jaquaski Tartt, who was injured for a lot of the year. If you want to know why we love Jaquaski Tartt, go watch the Panthers game from last year. He made probably one of the best interceptions of the year. Love that game. But the kid has a lot of talent. The biggest problem with that secondary is, are they going to stay healthy, and do they have the depth after that starting lineup?
Yeah. Absolutely. I think I agree with most everything you said about the defense. I'm always going to side on the side of the secondary is going to be great, because obviously it's unfair to say that their secondary is full of nobodies, because they don't get the public exposure they used to get. And before Jimmy G got there, I wasn't watching the 49ers every week, but I don't believe in anyone else other than Richard Sherman on that roster. And I'm not even sure I believe in Richard Sherman. And the Achilles injury is a really serious injury, especially for a player of his age. And it's not even confirmed if he'll be back for week one yet or not. I just have some real concern about the 49ers defense. With all that being said, let's wrap this up here really quick. What are your expectations for the 49ers this year? And let's not say what's a good season. Let's say, what are your expectations? What's your record prediction? And what's a bad season for this team this year?
My expectations for where we're going to end up is a solid 9-7. And a bad season for us is going to be anything under 6 wins. 7-9 wouldn't really surprise me that much. I think an absolute ceiling for us is about 10-6, and that's with a lot of good games. 9-7 is about where I expect us to land this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is honestly, that's a little bit disappointing for me, because I always really like new teams in the playoffs, new kind of fresh blood. So the 49ers are kind of my side team this year. I think I'm going to cheer for them pretty hard, because I like it when we get kind of new players in the mix. Also, 49ers, it's a great team, great franchise. I And I haven't gotten to see, like, they don't put the games on primetime, of course, or the nationally televised game. So, like, I've seen Levi's Stadium on TV, like, once, but it looks absolutely electric, and I'd love to see it a little bit more as a packed house and see what you guys can bring, because I think the team's going to be really fun to watch this year.
Yeah, and we definitely got more primetime games this year, so yeah, we should be in there. We should be seeing a little bit more.
Absolutely. Hey, well, Dylan, thank you very much for joining us. We hope we're doing the rounds on this to talk to other people. Also, like, if you ever want to come on in the regular season, we do week previews, week recaps. If you ever want to talk about the league, the Niners, you're more than welcome back on. But, hey, thanks again, man. Obviously, where can people check out on Twitter? Where can people check out your writing? Other projects that you might be working on?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at DylanFrazier98. I have two websites that I'm working with right now. One is Nothing But Niners. It's obviously a 49ers website. We're doing a lot of big things. We got some actual player interviews on our YouTube channel, and we've got some good stuff going on over there. And I'm also working with a crew called Snack Time Fantasy. So, I mean, I got two places that you can go check out my writing at. You can find me on Twitter. That's usually where you'll find all my writing and stuff. Give me a follow. I'd love to have the follows. I'm right there at 1,000 followers, so I'd love to bump it up and get right there to it.
Yeah, let's get Dylan at 1,000 followers. Obviously important. Well, hey, again, Dylan, thank you very, very, very much for joining us. To our listeners, we will be back Monday. We hope to have a show out. Might be out a little bit Sunday night, so keep your eyes tuned to your podcast feed. Thanks again, guys, for your time. Peace out. Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.